Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Welcome everyone to Pursuit Church. We're so very happy that you could be with us today. Before you're seated, I want to read one verse from Psalm 27. It's verse 6. Psalm 27, verse 6, it says, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." This morning, I simply want to speak on victory in Jesus. You may be seated. At some point when David was facing his enemy, he wrote the 27th Psalm. It begins this way, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The psalmist uses three metaphors to describe the Lord. He is my light, he is my salvation, and he is my strength. Now, the first thing he says is the Lord is my light. Light is an energy that automatically eliminates darkness. You don't have to ask for it to work, you just have to let it shine. That's why David said in Psalm 23, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Even in the worst kind of darkness, church, we can have confidence that God is a light that eliminates the darkness. No matter what we have gotten ourselves into, no matter the type of darkness, God can bring you out of it. For the Lord is the light of all light. He is greater than any darkness. Darkness has no power to overcome light. The smallest light, the weakest light, the most insignificant light causes even the strongest darkness to flee. But may I say this morning, though the most insignificant light and the most smallest light can cause darkness to flee, you do not have just a small light. You do not have just an insignificant light, but you have the Father of lights. You have in possession today the one whom all light comes from, the creator of light, the one who bears all light. No light upon the earth is as great. The sun is not as great. No star among the heaven is as great, for he is the Father of lights. There is no light greater. And so if the smallest and weakest and most insignificant light can cause darkness to flee, how much more can the Father of lights bring you out of darkness? How much more can the Father of lights bring somebody out of a depression? How much more can the Father of lights deliver somebody from anxiety and fear? So the psalmist says, "Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid?" See, the devil wants us to fear. And many people live in fear today, fear of people, fear of failing, fear of death, fear of the unknown. So many people live in fear of declining health, fear of war, fear of running out of money, fear of losing their job. But the psalmist, who also faced these same kind of things in his life, goes as far as to say, "Because I've got the Lord, I have nothing to fear. I do not have to fear anything. I do not have to fear what other men may fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for God is with me." So the psalmist then says, "The Lord is my salvation." Now, the word salvation here can also mean victory or deliverance. So when the psalmist says, the Lord is my salvation, or the Lord is my victory, he's saying, regardless of what I see, or what I hear, or regardless of what I feel, I'm not waiting for my victory, it's already here. I've got my victory, his name is Jesus. And Jesus is with me in the valley, and Jesus is with me in the storm. And so regardless of what I see, and regardless of what I feel, I know he's with me. And so victory doesn't come from me, and victory doesn't come from the world around me. Victory isn't dependent on earthly things, but my victory, church, and my help and my salvation comes from the Lord, who I know is with me. My help comes from God. My peace comes from God. My joy comes from God. My assurance comes from God because he's with me. I do not live in fear because he's with me. This week, I began to think about all the earthly empires and kingdoms. There have been some large empires in the past, the Russian Empire and the British Empire, the Spanish Empire, the Qing Dynasty in China, empires in Japan, empires in Brazil. And really, by definition, there are still empires today. The United States possesses the greatest informal empire in world history. It's interesting because many people who live here, especially in our current generation, talks so badly about this country, but really it's been the safest, most productive, and freest empire to date. Unlike the empires in Venezuela and North Korea and Somalia and many of those in the Middle East. And by definition, China, Russia, Iran, India, Pakistan, and many others are still considered empires today. There are many different empires and types of kingdoms, if you will. And besides all of that, there are still a very large groups of people outside of the Christian faith, outside of the kingdom of God. But every empire has an expiration date. Every empire will fall. Every kingdom will come to an end, except the kingdom of God. And they may feel powerful right now, and they may seem influential today. Millions may follow them. They may have a lot of wealth and power and history. Their so-called kingdoms may even contain billions of people today, but their kingdom will still fall. Every kingdom will have an end. None will see victory except the kingdom of God. Putin's kingdom will end. North Korea's kingdom will end. The Chinese Communist Party will come to an end. But America will come to an end. And politics will end. And Islam will end. And Hinduism will end. And Buddhism will end. And you better believe atheism will end. And every kingdom and every empire and every entity outside of the kingdom of God will fall. Unless you belong to the kingdom of God, you will fall. And so maybe you ask, well, what does this have to do with my message on victory today? A spirit-filled Christian already possesses victory. You possess a greater victory than any kingdom or empire or entity upon this earth. The power of God within you. The Spirit of God in you is like no power on the earth. You are a part of the only kingdom who has defeated sin, death, and the grave. You belong to the only kingdom who has a promise of eternal life. No other kingdom can promise such a thing. Every other kingdom is just earthly and worldly. They cannot promise you anything outside of this world and this flesh. And so you possess a victory greater than any kingdom or empire or entity will ever see on the earth. And one day the kingdom of God will be the only kingdom that will continue to stand. Church, his name is Jesus, and no other name will every knee bow to, no other name will every tongue confess, for there is salvation in no other, there is victory in no other, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is Jesus, and his kingdom will stand forever, and his kingdom will be the only kingdom that will stand forever. And I say all of that to say this, we shouldn't fear man. Us Christians should not fear man. We should not fear other empires or kingdoms or people. We should not fear what man can do. For we belong to the only kingdom that will last. We belong to the only kingdom that will be victorious. We belong to the only eternal kingdom. Every other kingdom will fade away. And in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to the king because they knew he wasn't the real king. They knew that they had belonged to a greater kingdom, and it was okay for them to be thrown into the fire because they knew that every kingdom along with their king would eventually fall except that of the name of the Lord. They didn't fear King Nebuchadnezzar because they were a part of a much greater kingdom, the kingdom of God. And when your trust is in this kingdom, fear no longer has a place in your life. I said, when your trust is in the kingdom of God, fear has no place in your life. When your trust is in the kingdom of God, you can face lions and bears and giants without fear. When your trust is in the kingdom of God, you do not lose sleep at night over earthly things. When your trust is in the kingdom of God, the threat of war or sickness or trouble doesn't scare you because greater is his kingdom and greater is his power and greater is his peace and greater is he who is in me than somebody who's in the world. I say all of that because we're speaking about victory today. And the only true victor is Jesus Christ. Every other entity and power will fall. Hollywood will fall. Every kingdom of wealth will fall. Every government will fall. Every great army will fall. Every earthly kingdom will come to an end. And so when the psalmist says, "The Lord is my salvation," or "The Lord is my victory," he's saying, regardless of what I see with my eyes right now, or what I'm hearing on the news, or what I feel in my feelings, I'm not waiting for my victory. It's already here. I've got my victory. His name is Jesus. He's with me at all times, and forever I'll be with him. I am a part of the kingdom of God. I belong to the kingdom of God. And so, church, I won't fear. Even though I might find myself in the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear though my enemy may come against me, for my God is with me. The King of Kings is on my side. David then says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." The word strength there can also mean a place of refuge. It is used in a military sense as a place of safety in the middle of the battle. He is the strength of his people. He provides a place of refuge. The next thing that David does is he begins to encourage himself in the Lord. He starts by remembering past victories. He says in Psalm 27:2, "When the wicked came against me, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell." He began to testify, if you will. He's speaking about what's happened in the past. "When the wicked came against me, they stumbled and fell." He's looking back at what the Lord has done. He's remembering the great victories of the past. Church, somebody this morning needs to stop and encourage themselves in the Lord. He's never failed me yet. He's never abandoned me. He's always been there. He's never left me in the hands of my enemy. And though I may have been in places I didn't understand, and there have been times that weren't easy, the Lord has always been my refuge. The Lord has always been my strength. And when I think about the Lord and all that he's done for me, when I think of all the past victories, God has always been faithful. God has always been there. God has always been good. And church, God has never lost a battle. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. After speaking about his past, David begins to speak about his future. Since I know what God has done, I can be confident in what God will do. Since I know he's been faithful before, I know I can trust him to be faithful again. Psalm 27:3 says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Regardless of the situation, he says, my heart will not fear. I will not be afraid. What a strong statement. Though an army may encamp against you, David, a whole army, though war may rise against you, David, you still won't fear. Well, what about nuclear war? What about the threat of nuclear weapons that can destroy all of the earth and all of humanity? It reminds me of what Jesus said. He says, do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. David would say, my heart would still not fear. David would say, I am still confident in my God, for his kingdom is greater than all other kingdoms. What is a nuclear weapon compared to God? What is an army of men compared to God? What is man's wisdom compared to God? These things can't hurt the kingdom of God. These things can't threaten the kingdom of God, for his kingdom is not carnal, nor are the weapons of his warfare. This battle is not physical. This battle is spiritual. And church, this battle will never be won by nuclear weapons, but this battle will be divinely won by the King of Kings, God himself. And so there's nothing man can do to defeat those who are a part of the kingdom of God. This is why Paul the Apostle in the New Testament, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Don't you know there'll be a resurrection of the dead one of these days? And those who belong to the kingdom of God will prove that death had no sting and grave had no victory. But only those who belong to the kingdom of God, though, will be triumphant. The Bible says, because thanks be to God who give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only through Christ Jesus is there victory. And the Lord will have the final say, and every kingdom will bow down. Those who joined other kingdoms will bow down. Those who were a part of other beliefs and religions will bow down. Every king of old will bow down. And the King of Kings will open his book. The Bible calls it the book of life. And only those who are written in the book of life will see victory. Only those who gave themselves to Jesus will see victory. But everyone will still face judgment. From the days of the book of Genesis all the way to the present day, every man will face judgment. Every man will face the King of Kings. And the Bible says the seas will give up their dead, and the grave will give up their dead, and hell will give up their dead, and every man will come together to face judgment. But the church will see victory. Those who belong to the kingdom of God who gave themselves to Christ, those whose faith was in Christ Jesus, will see victory. How? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have victory, have everlasting life. While every other kingdom and every other government and every other entity will fall. But David says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Some of us just need to remind our heart of who God is. Our God is not little. Our God is not small. Our God is not one God among many other gods. No, he's the one and only. He's all powerful, all knowing, ever present. He's ready to help. He's ready to save. And only in him is there victory. Only in Christ Jesus is there victory. Today, I want to go back to our scripture, Psalm 27 and 6. It says, I'm almost done. Now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. There is an immediate sense of now. Now my head shall be lifted up. Not in the future, but here, now. Church, we need a right now move of God in our life. Not in an hour, not next week, not next year, but now. God wants to lift somebody up now. God wants to lift up your head today. He said, and my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. You know, if you stare too long at your enemy, the enemy grows in the mind's eyes to gigantic proportions and you lose sight of God. But David says, my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. What is above my enemies? Well, that would be God, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord, mighty in battle. My provider, my peace, my shield, my strength, the one who gives me the victory. He says in Psalm chapter 3, verse 3, he says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. The lifting of the head signifies the moment that one moves from despair to hope, from fearful to full of faith. And I believe that's what God wants to do for somebody today. He wants to move somebody from despair to hope, somebody from fearful to full of faith. And he wants the church to understand that when you joined his kingdom, you joined in his victory. You have nothing to fear today. No matter what people may say, no matter what people may do, no matter what it looks like on the news, no matter what the doctor says, you are victorious in Christ Jesus. You belong to the kingdom of God. You have a heavenly hope and eternal future, so you can lift up your voice today. You can lift up your head today and say, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Because thanks be to God who giveth me the victory through Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening and see you next week.